Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kirk Crosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, continues now. This is the broadcast for March 31st in the year of our Lord, 2016, hour 2 of 2. The goal, to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country. We don't need a revolution, but a restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth would be a good plan. We hope you'll help. We use the supreme law, the Constitution, as our guide. Welcome to the broadcast, folks. Kurt brings up Cheech and Chong last hour. Kurt has some incredible impersonations and stuff like that. You got to check that out. LibertyRoundtable.com. The archive will be up soon. Now, Kurt, why did you bring up Cheech and Chong now? What was going on with that? All right, we lost Kurt. We'll try to get him back. All I can tell you is Cheech and Chong, for those who don't know, who may be too young or not familiar with the comedy routine of Cheech and Chong or whatever, they were a well-known dynamic comedy routine duo back in the 70s, and they had all kinds of funny commentary and stuff like that. Quite interesting. And anyway, that's the Cheech and Chong story. But Kurt brought it up, and, you know, I just thought I'd kind of mention that. Why did Kurt do that, bring up Cheech and Chong? Are you with us, Kurt, yet, buddy?
I'll tell you. Sorry, I had to go unhook the dogs.
Don't do that.
They were kind of wrapped around a tree, and it was raining, and, you know, so it was getting them wet. I mean, I got this one dog.
So let me understand. The whole show just went to the dogs.
Well, her name's Duchess, and, you know, she just, I mean, she could tangle herself up with, I mean, like an inch of rope somehow. She can do such amazing things to just twist around and go all over the place. But anyway, I just, after seeing them, I was trying to do my morning dishes, you know, during the break.
Why would you do
and
that?
Then I saw,
you're supposed to be getting ready for the show during the break, Kurt.
Well, I know. I just, you know, it's like you always talk about the day job. You know what I mean? You got these different
day
things.
Day job is dishes? I think you're on the honey-do list, my friend.
Well, that's part of it, you know. But, you know, you do those different things. And anyway, I looked out.
By the way,
Cheech
and Chong do a dog routine.
Oh.
But it's pretty rough, though. You might not like it, Kurt.
Well, yeah, I wouldn't like it if
it's a dog bathroom routine, if you really want to know that.
Oh, yeah, well, you know. I'd probably avoid that, yeah. But, you know, the funny things that people do, you know, we kind of enjoy. And, you know, we're kind of like the old phrase from Zig Ziglar where he'd say, when he was doing these professional speaking things, and he did a lot of those, but he said sometimes people would say to him, they'd say, well, man, that guy's really good, but he's got a few stories. We just can't use him, you know, in our place. And, you know, sometimes Zig would tell the guy, you know, they were pretty interested, but, you know, they just said they couldn't use you for those things. And the guy would say typically, hey, well, I'll take those out for them. And the response from the potential client was always, well, we kind of wanted somebody that didn't really have to take them out. And so hopefully we provide, you know, some kind of program that at least you don't feel like, you know, you gotta take stuff out. You know, we try to make it family friendly as best we can. You know, there's sometimes it's just kind of tough to cover the news without being kind of scary, you know what I'm saying?
Scary? What are you talking about? We're mainstream, down the middle of the road, a constitutional lane, a founding father-esque, traditional values. We're everything America. Buddy, we are baseball and apple pie of America. And values,
well, I know,
and principles,
but when we have to talk about, you know, crazy things like changing the deals where, you know, men can go into women's bathrooms or, you know, all these kind of crazy things that we see in these days, you know, they're kind of what my grandpa would probably call scary. I mean, I don't know if he'd use that word. He'd just say, you know, unsavory or, you know, less than...
Well, would you rather be in our position to defend traditional values in the media realm, Kurt, or would you rather be in the professional or professor, I should say, realm like John McAdams is doing.
Well, those guys are usually pretty safe, right, Sam?
Because what? Those people are nuts.
Well, I'm just saying that if they do what most students do, and that is, if you're a student, you find out what your professor, your teacher, you know, what they want you to say.
Not me.
And you say it. Well, I know.
I take that sucker on right in the middle of class.
Yeah.
That's how I roll.
You know, in today's world, Sam, you'd get, like an F.
Yeah, but buddy, you know what? I'd have the best time all semester. Yes, and I'd challenge that sucker on every point. Mm-hmm. It'd be phenomenal.
And so this guy reminds me of you in some ways. Guy's name is John McAdams. Now he's, you know, been professoring, I guess you'd say, at Marquette University. Now,
yeah, it's
kind of
like the Butler Buttles, Kurt, right?
Yeah.
It's like that.
I don't know if you knew this, but Marquette is basically, I guess they have a Catholic mission. In other words, you know, they're supposed to be, I guess, from the Catholic Church or whatever like that. But in this case, they don't seem to be doing it. In fact, this professor calls Marquette's Catholic mission a marketing gimmick. Now, you won't find that unless you read all the way to the bottom of the story, which is typically how you need to read the story, is pretty much upside down. This guy, what he's been doing, Sam, is it's what they used to call freedom of speech. And, you know, one of the last places, I guess, I don't know if it's really the last place it's disappearing, is the universities. It's just been disappearing everywhere. But this guy, you know what he did, Sam?
He stood up for God, family, and country, Kurt.
Yeah, back in 2014, a junior faculty member, Cheryl Abate, you know, it's kind of like debate, but Abate, you know, told a student who secretly recorded the exchange, that's the cool thing about these cell phones, that his defense of man-woman marriage was an unacceptable topic in her ethics class and compared his views to racism. She said, "You can have whatever opinions you want, but I can tell you right now in this class, homophobic comments," you know, this is where freedom of speech is gone, "racist comments and sexist comments will not be tolerated." And then she told the student he should drop the class. On this very popular blog, Professor McAdams outed the incident. That means, you know, kind of like you out somebody if they're a homosexual. This way you tell people about it. You know, it's like telling it. And he charged the teaching assistant with using a tactic typical among liberals now.
Now, let me stop you there. A tactic typical of liberals. Now, here's the real reason to bring up the story, Kurt. Listen carefully.
Good point.
Go ahead.
And it goes on to say, opinions with which they disagree are not merely wrong, and they're not to be argued against on their merits, but they're deemed offensive and need to be shut up. Now, there used to be a book we sold called Shut Up, and that's pretty much how freedom of speech is limited.
And here's how it is. So we're not going to debate the merits of it. We're not going to debate the morality of the right and wrong, because they know they'll lose in that reality, Kurt. But if
Good
they can
point.
Just say, shut up, you're a racist, then you're supposed to just go,
okay.
Back of the bus for you.
That's right.
And you're done. And that's the end of the conversation. Because if you debate it, you know, you can start bringing up reality about man-woman marriages or the time-tested, God-initiated reality for families. You can talk about the perpetuation of the human race. You can talk about the, what would I say? What's the word I'm looking for? You have shorter lifespans when you're involved in these other type of relationships. And you can go on and talk about the facts, how it's not healthy or safe. But they're not going to talk about the merits. They're not going to debate this with you. They're just going to tell you you're a racist, you're a homophobe, you're a whack. Shut up.
Yeah.
And the conversation's
and then
over.
Basically out. Yeah.
Keep going. Definitely. This story is really interesting. I commend McAdams, by the way.
Yeah, amen to that. Then this firestorm ensued, you know, and people are all getting upset, you know, because if somebody's upset, then the other person who is said to have made them upset, they just have to stop. You know, I mean, we wouldn't want anybody upset in the world. But anyway, this firestorm ensued, they say. It pitted the academic freedom of McAdams against the leftist pieties of the officially Catholic institution. The teaching assistant is said to have gotten mean emails. Oh, we got to stop that. Anything mean, we don't want to upset those little poor people, huh, Sam?
Well, you're allowed to be mean if you believe in, like, one man, one woman marriages. Then you can be mean.
Yeah.
You can just shut those people up, kick them out, run them out on a rail, bunch of homophobic
racists.
No,
you mean you can be mean to those people.
Yes.
But, you know, yeah, okay, good.
Yeah, you can be mean to those people, but you can't be mean otherwise. In fact, that's not kind.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Hello everyone, James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
John McAdams, a professor at Marquette University, stands with a student to defend one man, one woman marriage, but of course got shut down by the teaching assistant there. You know what? You try to defend man, woman marriage in government schools and colleges today, funded by our tax dollars, and look out, they'll shut you down and run you out on a rail for hate speech, for evil, racist, homophobe viewpoints. They're not going to debate it on the merits of the discussion. They're just going to tell you to shut up. You're a racist. Sit down. You can't talk if you believe in any traditional value. In fact, that's a Christian-esque idea that you got there, son. We don't allow God here in this school. We look to Godzilla for our answers. And hey, man, we're not going to hear from you at all. Shut up. Sit down. Get out of the class. Goodbye. Well, thank heavens for John McAdams standing up against this horrible behavior, Kurt.
And you'd think at an officially Catholic institution that, you know, that would not be the way it was. But anyway, this teaching assistant, it was a sad time because she got mean emails. And even though she was hailed as a liberal hero and went on a tenure track position at another university, you know.
By the way, really quick, though, I would condemn the people sending hate mail to her, too, Kurt.
Yeah, that's not right. But, you know, see, a mean email, you know, to one person, let's say you write her an email and you say, I disagree with what you said, and I believe that one man, one woman is the way God intended it.
Hate mail, bro.
You know, some people, yeah, that's what they're going to call that. Yet, on the other hand, if you say things that you shouldn't say, you know, but the point is, free speech sometimes upsets people. Now, the group like this, you know, teaching assistant, she just didn't want to hear it. And she's not for really freedom of speech. You know, it's amazing how in the old days they'd call it book burning if you said, hey, you know, there's pornography in that, so we don't want it at the school. So then, you know, we're going to get rid of those books. And, oh, you know, you're censoring or whatever. But now the same, you know, kind of crowd that promoted those kind of books wants, you know, there to not be any of this talk of God and things like that. They're censoring, if you ask me. But anyway, they went on to say in this article that it was announced this week that a diverse faculty committee, look out for those diverse ones, recommended to the university president that Professor McAdams be suspended without pay. You know, typically they get those other ones that they really like. They'll be suspended with pay. But anyway, without pay from April 1st, maybe it's an April Fool's joke, through the fall of 2016, and that he lose his job. Now, get this part. Unless he admits guilt, and he apologized within the next 2 weeks. So, you know, if you do your penance, Sam, you know, you talked about purgatory before. This guy's pretty much in Marquette purgatory, or professorship purgatory. And if he admits guilt and he apologizes within the next 2 weeks, you know, they have these little classes that you're supposed to go to and stuff like that. They say specifically the demand is your acknowledgement that your November 9th, 2014 blog post was reckless and incompatible with the mission and values of Marquette University, and you express deep regret for the harm suffered by our former graduate student and instructor, Ms. Abate. The ever quotable and crusty McAdams compared the demand to the I like this part, Inquisition, in which victims who confessed they had been consorting with Satan and spreading heresy would be spared execution. He called the demand a violation of black letter guarantees of academic freedom embodied in university statutes. He also charges the university president with dishonesty, since the faculty panel did not require such an admission of guilt or an apology. McAdams said such a statement from him would amount to a loyalty oath, and he says he will not submit. And then, like I told you in the early part of the story, the last sentence, it's one of the key parts. He also referred to Marquette's Catholic mission as nothing more than a marketing gimmick. You know, it's too bad to say, but so many of them are like that, huh, Sam?
Well, it's sad, yes, but it is typical, though, Kurt, and we're seeing more and more of this.
And what I want you to do, ladies and gentlemen, those of you that do listen, that spend your hard-earned minutes with us or whatever, and later maybe you listen to Glenn Beck or Sean Hannity or Rush Limbaugh or, you know,
Heck no, you're
going
to listen to Liberty News Radio and listen to Joyce Riley and Vincent Finelli and John Stattmiller and those guys.
Yeah, but, you know, if you're listening around, try to find somewhere else you hear anybody talk about this story, and then let us know.
Let us know who got after it and told you the tale and commended John McAdams, huh? Good point. The other interesting thing about this, Kurt, though, is I want to talk about why. Why is this happening? Why do we have this pervasive culture inside government schools funded by your tax dollars, the academia world, the university, the educational arena, whatever you want to deem it, the indoctrination centers. Okay, why do we have this going on, though? How do we get to the point where John McAdams is on the ropes for defending what used to be the common standard for centuries, Kurt, which was given to us by God, traditional marriage, appropriate families? How did we get into the situation where John's on the ropes, this other, you know, underling gets to call the shots and decide what the discussion points will be in the debate and call people homophobic and racist and everything else? How did we get to this point, number one? And number two, how do we turn it around? I think this is important to discuss because, you know what? It's going to get worse if we don't learn to turn it around, Kurt.
Well, it's a great point, Sam, and in my opinion, the way we got there is, you know, just kind of little bits at a time. One of the key things is you take us back, say, 100 years, would of any university been, I don't think any of them received federal funds 100 years ago. But now, you know, basically federal funding or, you know, unconstitutional funding coming from the federal level is rampant. And so money affects how people do stuff. And these professors or these university presidents that see the cash rolling in, you know, they're, what would you say? They're just going to pay the piper, they're going to march, you know, with the song of the piper, the guys who pay him. And that's what I see as a key. But, you know, this has been prophesied. Scripture tells us that in the last days, good is going to be called evil, and evil will be called good, and men will be lovers of them, you know, and it goes on and on. But that's what you see. Here's a man, you know, a professor who is standing up for one man, one woman marriage, and, you know, he's going to be let go by a Catholic university because, you know, his talk is just too tough.
Now, I submit to you, you're right about the money thing, and no doubt that's part of the problem. I agree with that. However, I would submit to you that the reason we're to the point we're at, Kurt, is because I don't know who the student is, but whoever the student is, and I don't know who John McAdam is personally. I've never met the guy. But whoever he is, we don't have enough of those guys. Because what would have happened if the whole class would have said, you know what, ma'am, you need to sit down. We're taking this issue to the dean of the school or whatever the, you know, the CEO. I don't know how they do it in Catholic schools. I don't mean to mock them. I'm just saying I don't know the protocols. We're going to go to the master of ceremony. We're going to go to whoever. And you know what? We're going to explain this situation. We don't appreciate this. It's one thing if you have your own opinions. We accept that. We're not going to take those away from you. You can think how you want to and believe how you want, but we're not going to allow you to shut this person down. Now, even if the students disagree with the student on the matter, they should stand for their right to think and believe and say what they want to. And that's the problem. Even the gay and lesbians should be agreeing that this guy can articulate what his beliefs are. Isn't that what they want us to do for them? And so what we need is more John McAdams standing up, more students standing up. And had we done this properly in the beginning, we wouldn't be in the position we're in right now. So the answer is to stand for the right, to stand for good. We'll talk about it a little bit more. This is Liberty Roundtable Live. Then we're going to talk about poisoning people, okay?
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
With news this hour from LibertyNewsDaily.com, I'm William Grigg.
The Donald Trump presidential campaign was originally intended to be a protest candidacy and a way for the mogul to build his business profile, insists former campaign insider Stephanie Chagilsky. But now Trump is favored to become the Republican nominee and has a decent chance of being elected to a position he wasn't seriously pursuing. I fell in love with the idea of a protest candidate who was not bought by corporations, writes Chagilsky in a lengthy confessional essay. A man who sat in a Manhattan high-rise he had built, making waves as a straight talker with a business background full of successes and failures who wanted America to return to greatness. As communications director for Trump's Make American Great Again Super PAC, Chagilsky was initially delighted by the public response to the candidate's unconventional campaign, but then became alarmed over the way he captured the imagination of the silent majority of Americans who are not part of the liberal elite. I don't think even Trump thought he would get this far, she writes, and I don't even know that he wanted to, which is perhaps the scariest prospect of all. Trump never intended to be the candidate, but his pride is too out of control to stop him now. The FBI has ceased its legal battle to compel Apple to provide the encryption key for its iPhone after using what was called a mysterious technique to hack into a cell phone owned by one of the perpetrators of the San Bernardino massacre. After the Bureau dropped its case, Apple issued a statement promising that it will work to improve the security of its devices. Industry observers have speculated that the Israeli data recovery company Cellebrite, which is on contract with the FBI, helped the agency to overcome the iPhone's encryption protocols. The Bank of Japan has driven interest rates below zero in what it calls a quantitative and qualitative easing program intended to promote government bond sales and induce a growth spurt in the nation's long stagnant economy. The market for Japanese government debt dried up 3 years ago, causing the country's central bank to start buying up government bonds. 2 months ago, the BOJ introduced a negative interest rate to entice foreign buyers, but the resulting volatility has made it all but impossible for investors to identify a fair market price for the instruments. Market analysts contend that the market for Japanese bonds is a bubble that will eventually burst, leading to a catastrophic sell-off. With the help of Russian military assets, the government of Syrian ruler Bashar al-Assad has retaken the historic city of Palmyra from ISIS. Daniel McAdams of the Ron Paul Institute points out that this victory demolishes Washington's claim that the Russians were not targeting ISIS at all in Syria, but only the moderate rebels that had been supported by the Obama administration. For commentary and insights on a troubled world, visit Joel Skousen's worldaffairsbrief.com. For LibertyNewsDaily.com, I'm William Grigg.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
All right, so what I'm saying about this story, this is a battle. Sad to say, in a private school, isn't it, Kurt? We're talking about Marquette University.
Well, it's Marquette University, and, you know, you got to remember, like, when you say private, you know, they say it's a Catholic university, and, like, he, the professor says that it's just used as a marketing gimmick. In other words, they're not standing up for their principles. But,
right. But
so
they are
many
a private school,
them,
right?
Yeah, if they're Catholic, then that's the way they ought
yeah,
to be.
Yeah, although right? I bet they're funded by the government.
That's the point that I figured you'd want to make.
Yeah, and so it's interesting when we say private. I wish it was really private. Okay, I send my kids to a private school. By the way, it's called American Heritage. That school is absolutely private. In fact, every time they stand up and they ask people to support them financially and stuff like that, they tell you that they don't receive any money from the government.
Yeah,
and guys like me just start clapping and whistling and going yeah and stuff like that. But anyway, that's another topic. I'm just telling you, it's good stuff. But the problem here is this university is melting down.
Yes.
And it's melting down because people can't stand up for traditional values anymore. Why? Because we've been silent for so long, Kurt, the second they whip out that homophobe card, and then you spend your time going, I'm not homophobic. My sister knows a lesbian. And so people go off and try to act like because they know somebody that's gay or because they're not, well, I've got a friend that, you know, or whatever. Okay. It's kind of like, I'm not a racist. I got a black friend or I got a white friend or I would, okay. You waste your time, people. And James Edwards wrote about this in Racism, Shmacism. We need to update that book to 2.0. I don't know what it would be called yet, but they don't really want to debate you about whether you're a racist or not, or whether you're a homophobe or not, because they know you're not. But they know that you'll just sit down and shut up, and the debate's over. And they win, and they continue to roll with their abusive, hostile tactics. And so what we need more of, as Kurt says this, we need to, one, get the government money out of it, for sure. But two, what we need is more people to stand up. Just imagine if even half the class would have said, you know what, ma'am, you can disagree with the student all you want to. This is America, and you have the right to your opinion as well. But the student can and will make the defense of man-woman marriages. The student can do that here. This is not China. This is America. This student has a First Amendment right, and whether we agree or disagree with the student on the point, we will stand for their rights. And if Americans had done enough of that, Kurt, Marquette University wouldn't be in this situation where they're trying to suspend and fire this guy for standing up for traditional marriage. The leftist teaching assistant should be let go and say, you know what, you have the right to have your own opinions and your own views, but you're not at liberty to, one, violate our ethics code. By the way, you teach an ethics class? Wow. You're not allowed to violate our ethics code, and we're not going to allow you to railroad the values of the school down the drain. We're not doing that. But I submit to you, we're in the position we're in is because people are not standing up enough, Kurt. You don't have to be a homophobe or a racist to defend traditional marriage. The two are not synonymous. That's the lie they sell you. I'm for traditional marriage, one man, one woman marriage. Okay? That doesn't mean that I want to persecute anyone. It does mean that I don't want to be forced to go along with an agenda that's subversive to that viewpoint that I have. Okay, that's all. And can we agree to disagree? Well, a lot of these people would say, as long as you agree with us, yes. I would say, no, there's a First Amendment, people. And you're allowed to have your views, and I'll have mine. And we're not going to railroad anybody out. But nevertheless, that's the reason that we've got the problems, Curtis. Most people don't stand up. They're like, man, maybe I better check out of her class. Buddy, I would stay in her class, and I would basically deal with this lady every single day of that semester to where she wouldn't know what to do with me. Either that or I might get, you know, hundreds of students to leave the university. What if enough students just left the university over this entirely, Kurt, and their enrollment just went down big time?
That's a great point, Sam. And as I look over the whole Marquette University thing, they say it started way back in the 1800s, and so 135 years ago in 1881, founded by a guy named John Martin Henney, is the first Catholic bishop of the Archdiocese of Milwaukee. The funding came from a Belgian businessman. University was named after the 17th century missionary and explorer Father Jacques Marquette. They say the highest priority of the newly established college was to provide an affordable Catholic education to the area's emerging German immigrant population. You know, Sam, I guess they just didn't have enough government schools back then, and the Catholics jumped in to provide that. I mean, imagine that, way back in 1881. I guess it became an official university in 1907. Bottom line.
But, Kurt,
is,
what if half the class just said, you know what,
over the years.
You want this person to leave the class? We're all leaving your class. Goodbye, ma'am. You know what? We don't appreciate your abuse of this student for having a different opinion from yourself. It violates the whole principles that America stands for. It violates the freedom of conscience and self-determination. We're out. And then they walked up to the dean of the school and they said, listen, we were going to get our education here, but we're not able to do that anymore. We believe you violated our Catholic ethics of code. You got an ethics teacher that wants to basically jam her perverted views down our throat. We're not tolerating it. We're going to go to another university. Just imagine what would happen, even if 50 students did it, Kurt.
Well, and, you know, I'll give you some more facts here. I guess, you know, they've been growing for quite some time. And in the they reached the Final Four a little while back, and that gave them some more, you know, national exposure. So they did some fundraising, and they called it the Magis campaign now, or the Magi. I'm not sure if that would be the Magi.
Is it?
Maybe they did. Magis. I think that's how you say it or how you write it. Where they raised over $357 million by 2006. The two largest donations to Marquette University came within the same academic year. Second largest gift was given by an anonymous couple who have over time donated over $50 million to the university. Just imagine if that anonymous couple said, they just called up and said, you know, this deal about this professor, this is just wrong, and you guys better, you know, rethink this. You know, I'll bet you they could make a little difference there. But, you know, it's the students and each individual. You know, so much of this just happens little by little, and that's what we see. And now, you know, we've got a long way back, don't we? By the way, a little more details on Marquette. I guess they say they ranked 75th overall among undergraduate programs for national research universities. That's according to U.S. News and World Report back in 2014. You know, they called them a... they were selected as one of the 49 schools listed in the 2013 Fisk Guide to the Colleges as a Best Buy School. You know, imagine a church school, a Catholic university, being one of the Best Buy schools. Huh. You'd think the Best Buy ones would be those government ones, you know, where they...
Heck no. Buddy, they waste money left over, hand over fist.
Good point.
Now, all I'm telling you, though, is it would not have taken that many students to stand up against this. It wouldn't have taken too many, quote, funders or whatever you want to say.
Yeah.
Philanthropists, is that the right word I want to use?
Yes.
It wouldn't have taken very many people to really stand up and say, change this game curve. But you know what? This is the problem that I have with Americans and patriots in specific. They're running around going, we're losing every battle.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but they're the ones not standing up. They're the ones not getting involved and saying, you know what? We don't accept this. They're the ones that might get mad about it, but they're not the ones that would change the game. And I'll give you an example. Americans are pretty much, most of the conservatives, the silent majority is what they would call them. Man, I don't want to take on that issue, Kurt. I'm just going to let that go. I mean, I don't do controversy, Kurt.
Maybe Sam will talk about it.
Yeah, you know, maybe somebody else can. Well, I'm behind you.
$10.
I'm with you.
Yeah.
But man, there's no money. There's, you know, I'm looking in my rearview mirror and I can't see anybody. And some people say, well, that's because you're blind, Sam. And I'd be like, yeah, that isn't the point. Right?
Yeah.
Okay. All I'm saying is that we've got to do something different if we want different results in America, folks. And it's not going to work with the, you know, just Sam and Kurt in the fight all by ourselves. Now, I don't mean.
By the way,
I don't mean we're literally in this fight all by ourselves, but I'm just saying there needs to be more of us, folks. One student and one professor got railroaded. Who came to their defense, Kurt?
Guess what, Sam? They used to be called the Marquette Warriors.
You can't be saying that.
54 and 94. But they changed their name to the Golden Eagles. They say on the grounds that previous logos had been disrespectful to Native Americans. The football team was known as the Golden Avalanche through its final season back in 1960.
I think they ought to change their name to the Powder Puffs. The Perverted Powder Puffs. What do you think about that?
That would be the Triple P. You know,
hey, we're supposed to get to this killing people stuff, Kurt. Poison people plan.
Yes, we're supposed to do
Don't worry, your government will protect you from it all. Just seconds, we'll tell you about it. Liberty Roundtable Live.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
As the United States boldly stepped forward in the glorious light provided by its new Constitution in 1787, the nations of the earth were in awe of the newfound strength and hope of this free land. Today, the nation stands at a crossroads. A divergence from the original intent put forth in the United States Constitution has brought grave threats to our beloved nation. A miracle is needed if the United States is to survive. That miracle is again the pure application of the United States Constitution. I'm Scott Bradley. In my To Preserve the Nation book and lecture series, I bring forth truths that will help raise up a new generation of statesmen like those noble Americans who founded this land. Vigorous application of these principles will invigorate and restore the nation, and we may become again the freest, most prosperous, most respected, and happiest nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com to begin that restoration.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
With news the networks refuse to use, you are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, back with you live. Sometimes people say, Sam, why do you guys take on these topics for so long? You ought to move to another topic. This Catholic University thing is boring. And you know what? You're attacking the Catholics. And look, we don't mean to attack anyone. What we do mean to do is point out the problem with our society today, but provide solutions. Okay? We're not just trying to complain. We're trying to be positive. We're talking about wins. We're talking about praising people who are, in my opinion, modern-day heroes. And this John McAdams guy is a modern-day hero. So is the students that stood for traditional values. Lord willing, there'll be more of them everywhere. That'll, you know what? Stand up for what we believe. They don't have to be hostile. They don't have to be hate-filled. But they can simply say, look, we believe that people have a right to believe in one man, one woman marriages. They have a right to advocate for that position politely in the public arena. They have a right to talk about the reasons for their beliefs. In other words, their religious viewpoints, their religious worldview, if you will. And that's okay. Even if you disagree with that view, you should advocate that they have the right to believe and think and feel and talk and discuss and advocate for that position. Because that's America, people. It doesn't matter if you agree or disagree with the point. What matters is that you support their rights to believe and say and think and feel as they will. This story is critical because we're losing the battle in our universities, which means we're losing the next generation. These two stood up, the student and McAdams, the professor, and I commend them. But where's the rest of the people that should stand up and say, you know what? I don't really see that they're anywhere. So we spend so much time on these stories because we believe they have so many aspects that are worthy of education, that are worthy of focus, that are worthy of consideration, that are worthy of discussion, to make society better. You might next time, if you listen, stand up for somebody. Even if you disagree with what they believe or say or think. I do that all the time. You know what? I may not agree with what you say, but I'm going to stand for your right to say it anyway. That's a fundamental bedrock principle of America, people. Because my question to you is, if you don't believe in that principle, next time when it's your viewpoint, your belief, your closely held value that's in question, do you want to be railroaded? Do you want to be shut down, kicked out, marginalized, eventually persecuted for your beliefs? See, we better be very careful when we don't watch this line in the sand here. The line is, we cannot let them abuse us. Look, this student is not a racist. Because they want one man, one woman marriages. In fact, the only reason government's in the discussion of marriage in the first place is because the racist government didn't want black people and white people getting married, so government got in the middle of marriage. Go study history if you don't believe me. Check it out. You'll see what I'm talking about. It's real. So anyway, I digress, Kurt, but I wanted to really hammer home that point. That's the reason that we spend so much time on these critical issues, because our program is not just entertainment. It's not just Cheech and Chong. Our broadcast is meant to be an educational opportunity to teach people critical thinking skills, to help people connect with their history, to help people connect with their American heritage, to help people realize the viewpoints, the positions of the founding fathers. the time-tested, honored, God-given truths that somehow we're losing in our society. We got to work on that. We got to stand for that. We got to get involved for that. And we ask for your help. We wish there were hundreds of students in that school that said, you know what? I may or may not even agree with this McAdams guy and this student. But they have a right to think that and believe that. And I'm going to stand up for their right to do so. All right. Kurt, I guess some folks are poisoning people, huh?
Well, that's right. You've got, you know, the Terminix story is, I guess, the one you're talking about. And the headline from Wilmington, Delaware, Dateline there, Wilmington, Delaware, says Terminix to pay $10 million for poisoning Delaware family. Now, they say a pest control company, and that's who they're talking about. They say, well, they're going to resolve these allegations that they were illegally spraying a toxic pesticide that sickened and nearly killed a Delaware family that were vacationing in the U.S. Virgin Islands last year. Then the U.S. Justice Department, they come into the mix. They say that Terminix has now admitted to using a pesticide called methyl bromide at 14 locations, including at the condominium where these people were staying. Now, this pesticide, by the way, is odorless, and it can severely damage the central nervous and respiratory systems. But it's been banned for indoor use by the EPA. I mean, without the EPA, where would we be? But, and you'll have a hard time finding that in your Constitution. You have to look between the lines. But anyway, back in 1984, they banned it, I guess. But a Terminix worker sprayed the pesticide in the condo below where the family, and then they list the family's names, and it even included a doctor. The wife of the doctor, were staying there for 8 nights. The family fell ill 2 days later. Months later, the governor of the U.S. Virgin Islands said, that this family and his sons were in serious to critical condition and suffered neurological damage. The family's health condition was so severe that Pope Francis paused to bless him. At the urging of a U.S. senator of Delaware, by the way.
Now, Kurt, I hope the Pope was okay with that one man, one woman marriage thing going on, because he went and blessed those guys, and you know.
Yeah, good point. But anyway, a Wilmington lawyer there has been acting as a spokesman for the family, but someone who answered the phone at his law firm declined to comment, would not give the reporter his name. But bottom line is, spokesman for Terminix also didn't return call either. But what I think is interesting, Sam, is, you know, this is one of the reasons that you've got this movement of the whole farmers markets and people trying to find out about their food is, you know, so long our government has allowed. I mean, this was allowed before 1984. And
believe it or not, there's still government contracts that use it, Kurt.
Yeah, that's a good point. The Terminix people, I'm certainly not trying to say they're the bad guys, but the modern consumer has thought that, hey, if we just go ahead and use all these toxic things, killing bugs and weeds and everything, that, hey, life's going to be better. Life typically isn't improved by those, I would suggest, ladies and gentlemen. Most of the time, it's better if we'll just go ahead and maybe you could smash the bug, or you could, you know, pull the weed. There's a related story about that glyphosate. I don't know if you saw that one, but that's basically the fancy name for Roundup. And now they're coming out and saying Roundup isn't really your
safe and effective solution.
Yeah. Your healthy ingredient. The other day when I was selling the raw honey, this one lady came up and said their son had done this big glyphosate, study, and she was amazed that they found glyphosate or Roundup in so many foods. And, you know, and I'm like, duh, you know. But
in fact, it may be in the raw honey, Kurt.
Yeah, I know, but it's certainly not the honey guys that put it there, but it seems like Big Ag, according to the other headline, wants it in your food, and they're going to tell you that it's good for you, even if
it's a lie.
You don't think it is.
Now, what's funny about this whole thing, too, is the government on one hand pretends they're trying to shut it down. When they can barbecue somebody and extract a bunch of money, they're going to do it. But in the meantime...
Yeah, good point.
You know, the government's guilty of this, too. In other words, who approved that as safe and effective back in the day?
Yeah, you're exactly right.
And so you got this kind of dilemma where what we need to do is get the federal government out of it. We need to really evaluate this case on its own. And we need to say, look... The goal is you're supposed to basically lock that house down or lock that place down for 3 days because they know that it's toxic or whatever. You know, who let the family in before that, et cetera, et cetera. There's all kinds of liability questions about who's liable for what and what. And I'm not defending this company as much as I'm saying this is a case for the courts.
Yeah.
And a case-by-case reality basis of harm then should be dealt with, not a situation where you got the federal government just rolling out the – Well, even though we have government contracts that use it, we're okay. We told you it was safe and effective before. We lied. Sorry. Now we're going to barbecue this company using it. At some point, there's a little bit of blame to go around here that I think is being ignored, Kurt. And the real remedy, we're going about it all wrong. We need to go to the courts, and if there's really harm, then the courts should deal with that harm appropriately.
That's a great point. And, you know, some people say, well, yeah, without the EPA, then where would we be? And I would say simply... Number one thing we'd be is a lot freer. We wouldn't have all those regulations from on high that we're not supposed to have. Now, these individuals would still need to take care of this in the marketplace, but I submit that if the media and the marketplace work the way it's supposed to be, that means you know, you're going to have some media that would receive a bunch of money from Terminix and probably wouldn't cover this story, but you're going to have some like us who might bring it up and say, hey, this isn't really the way to go if you're looking for healthy solutions.
Well, and you know what, Kurt? One of the important things to understand would be if Americans took responsibility for their own health, their own circumstances, you might decide you're going to get a reputable company certified by a private organization to do your bug pest patrol stuff or whatever. It's like, hey, there's a nonprofit private group that you can be certified by, or, you know, kind of like the Better Business Bureau or the like kind of an idea, that would handle this stuff. And so there's ways to do this without government. Everybody thinks government's the only answer, and that's one of the things we want to reject. All right, thanks for being alongside, but hopefully it was educational and entertaining. LibertyRoundtable.com is our website. Thanks for being alongside for the ride. This nation shall endure.